We're talking with Roberto Medrano, Executive Vice President of Akana, and we are at the Cloud Expo show in New York. Roberto, a few questions for you. Akana is all about helping businesses to share data as APIs and to connect and integrate applications. Can you define that a little bit and give us an overview of what that means?
Yes, as companies are trying to build APIs, run APIs, and share APIs, we help them with that process. We have products that actually allow them to plan APIs, to go through the development process of APIs, and also with an API gateway, we run the APIs and for policies and allow them to move them to the cloud or use them in mobile devices or eventually do IoT with them. And if they want to share the APIs because they have a product, there's an API, then you can actually share them to an API portal. So we help them with the entire process.
Do you think we are on the way to API overload? Is this going to be too much of a good thing?
I don't think so. And the reason for that is because APIs have become now the way to create new apps and new applications. And the reason for that is because now that you have little mobile devices, you have IoT devices, you need the small ways to transform the data. And APIs are the best way with the best protocols to actually do that. So as you see in the future, everything is going to be related to API. That's what we have a tagline called Powering the API Economy.
In the wild today, we see lots of different things going on. What are the problems that businesses are facing as they migrate their on-premises applications into the cloud?
Well, obviously, there's a few things. One is they have to make a decision as to what exactly they're doing, because sometimes they just want lower cost and take people out, but that doesn't work all the time. They have to figure out what applications are really better suited for cloud and what applications they're better suited for on-premise, and are you really migrating applications or are you redeveloping new applications? Also, what we've seen today is some people used to do web services that are mainly on-premise. They use our API gateway as a mediation device to go on the cloud and to do REST devices as well.
I think it's fair to say that in the earlier days of the cloud, which was not all that long ago, businesses were looking for which applications they could migrate to the cloud first from a technological standpoint. Today, I think that view has changed and that it's more which applications make the most business sense or revenue sense to move into the cloud. Is that a fair assessment?
The assessment is correct in terms that you have to look at to what you're doing with your business. And I've seen some large business doing complete digital transformations of their business. And that means they're not migrating. They're redoing things. And they're reusing things also from inside. So they're reusing some parts and then redoing some parts. And also, I've seen some businesses that are doing real new businesses within their own applications. And the new business has to figure out what kind of applications you need in the cloud.
One of the big challenges in integration is connections, and this is something that Akana talks about quite a bit. It's been said that enterprises are now faced with anywhere from 300 to 800 integrations that they must manage when they move applications into the cloud. First of all, is that number actually accurate? Is that real?
Well, I am not sure exactly what the number. What I know is that some people have been calling the CIOs the chief integration officer rather than the chief information officer. And as you have more applications on-premise and you have new applications on the cloud, everything becomes an integration issue now. So how do you connect all these applications? We have a term called connector-less integration. And that means through APIs, you can easily connect all the applications that you have without having to build connectors, get new connectors, revise new connectors. Connectors are the old way to do integration.
And the problem with connectors is, for one thing, they don't scale.
Well, the scalability is one problem. The second problem is that when there's a new rev of the software, you cannot upgrade because the connector is not upgraded as well. So, but when people upgrade their software, usually they upgrade their APIs. The APIs are up to date, and you can easily connect.
What is Akana's view of the connectorless approach? What is it? How do you define it, and how does it work?
Well, like anything, it's a new world now. The new world means applications are done with APIs, connectivity is done with APIs. So if every SaaS application or every new application has APIs, the way to connect in the future is through APIs. So we have connectorless because you connect with APIs. We call it sometimes API hooks if you have to hook them together. But really, it's connectorless. You don't use the old connector approach that all vendors used to use before. And now you use an easy way to connect. You can connect Salesforce to Marketo. You can connect Salesforce to ServiceNow and all those applications that are there, as well as your internal applications to an API connectivity.
What are the issues related to API management?
API management is an issue. We're talking about APIs a lot. People usually develop APIs and they forget a few things. They forget security for the APIs. They forget how they monitor and manage their SLAs of the APIs. They forget all these management aspects of APIs, who's using it, who is premier goal of those. So all those issues and policies for the APIs, what are the right policies for the APIs? We are kind of are dealing with those issues, and we help our customers with those specific issues of policy management, security of the APIs, API security, API monitor, API management, SLA monitoring. All those are aspects that we help with our API gateway.
We're here at the Cloud Expo show in New York, and of course not everybody's able to be here at the show. For those people who aren't able to make it here, what would they be seeing if they stopped by the Ekana booth?
Well, at the Ekana booth, you can talk about what are APIs, what's API economy, what is API security, how they relate to them, what is API monitor, API management, and the new stuff, which is cloud integration. How do I do connectorless integration or adapterless integration? And also, how do I do microservices? The microservices is a new way of building applications, even beyond APIs. So what is that all about? And we can actually help people with that.
As microservices grows, what becomes obsolete?
As microservices grow, all the aspects of development applications become obsolete. The old way of a monolithic service, a big web service, becomes obsolete. Maybe the way of creating only APIs, because now APIs, we have several microservices in it. And before, APIs were the main service. So for us, that's a service regardless of calling microservice, web service, or APIs. And so there's new ways. And you also have new problems. The new problems is there will be thousands of microservices. There will be several hundred for an API. How do you monitor, manage, secure those microservices and other issues?
This requires new sets of skills for people, too.
Well, the skills is, I wouldn't call it a new set. It's an enhancement of your existing skills. Because if you know services, if you know APIs, you have to learn more about containers, for example. Containers like Docker and others. How do I deal with containers for now? How do I deal with a single microservice for APIs? So it's a new set of education and enhancement to existing skills.
You use the phrase API economy, API being something technical and economy being something, let's say, not terribly technical.
Right.
First of all, what is the API economy as you see it? And because it's a mixture of technical and non-technical, what does that mean for developers? What do they need to know that they don't know today?
So APIs is kind of a big term. There's APIs that are to be paid for. And that's a real economy because developers could get paid for building applications. Let's think of a hotel application that is built by a developer connected to a Marriott or through a Hilton. And some people actually get reservations through that. If they get the reservations, some developers will get paid to it. So there's some money transfer there. Other APIs for other people to use, like partners, also get paid. It's a partner pay for play on the APIs as well. Think of people like PayPal for your payment APIs or Elavon, U.S. Bank for payment APIs. So that's a payment side. Other places is I'm building apps where I can create an app that I can charge to people. And those things are connected internally through APIs. So it's an indirect way to get paid through your APIs as well. So there's a lot of economic aspects on the APIs that people don't think about because the old term API used to be application programming interface about 20 years ago. And that was the old way. Unfortunately, we use the same term API, which is a new term based on REST and JSON, and is a new way to build applications. We're using the same term.
We talk about the speed of the cloud and how fast things are changing. When you look into your crystal ball, what do you see down the road 2 or 3 or 4 years from now?
Well, some people think that to 2020, you will have a lot more applications in the cloud. That's a simple statement. I wouldn't say everything is going to the cloud, because today we have customers, banks, and healthcare people that use our products in a hybrid mode. Some things are for the cloud, such as the API portal to share your APIs, and some things are on-premise because some data you cannot put in the cloud because of privacy and other concerns, or regulatory instances that you cannot do that. So there's, for me, IT will become a hybrid cloud, not just a public cloud. So everything will be in the cloud if it's a hybrid cloud.
Security is always a very big issue. When everything was on-premises or on-premise, it was less of a concern because you knew what was under your own roof. In the cloud-based economy, that's no longer the case. So what do you see when it comes to security for cloud applications, cloud integrations, passing data from one application to another, and the APIs that have to support all of that?
Well, there's a lot of talk lately on the current security model is broken. And the reason why it's broken is because it's a firewall, perimeter-based type of approach. There's been reports about the largest bank in the United States is spending $400 million on security every year, and they still get hacked. And one of the reasons for that is that very few things are done at the API or application level security. And as much as you start putting pressure on the application or the API level security, which people don't really understand very well yet today, things will continue happening. We don't. It's like a city. It's like the old days when you used to have a castle and a moat. The perimeter side doesn't exist anymore in a city. Everything is open. So now you use different defenses, which are existing doors and locks of your own actual house. So think of that. As you develop apps and applications and APIs, you are locking those little components rather than the moat around your city. And what we provide is a lot of API security that people need for, so developers don't have to worry about the security side on their APIs. So when you make the APIs for an app, when you look at the API, use the APIs for a cloud-based infrastructure, those APIs are secure in multiple ways, not only spam ways, not only with public key encryption, but also with any antivirus or rate limiting that people may want to use in your applications.
It's probably also fair to say that perimeter security is of no value if the bad guys are already on the inside.
It's true. It's really no value. I mean, I started my career on the internet on one of the first firewall companies. So I've been in the security world either working for security companies or on boards of security companies for the last 20 years. And I see the migration of how things have changed in terms of attacks. But also I haven't seen the mentality of some large corporations to change and to move into the actual world of applications now.
No amount of spending will ever make everything secure. There are those who are saying, why don't we spend zero on security instead of revving security spending up? Let's spend zero on security. We know the data is going to get taken. Simply render the data unusable through encryption or some other means.
So I agree a little bit on that statement, because people spend zero security in moats for castles today, right? Or zero security. If I go to Berlin, I see the gates that used to exist there, or London, the gates that used to exist, the moat, the city, and the wall. And that's spent now zero on that security. But those cities now spend a lot on security, and the individual residents spend some security on their houses, on their belongings, and that's not going to stop. But still, people can break in. People steal things. Some people break in into houses still. Or they just knock the door, people open the door, and some things happen. So there's no 100% security. It's just the way that you spend the money on security has to change for the new world of apps, APIs, cloud applications now.
All right. We've been talking with Roberto Medrano, Executive Vice President of Akana. Thank you very much.
Thank you.